Reserve Bank released its Financial Stability Review report today. My colleague, Rek Fanica, caught up with the Deputy Governor, Rashad Kassim.
The South African Reserve Bank published its latest Financial Stability Review. The bank publishes this review twice a year, and it aims to identify and analyze potential risks to the country's financial system. Now, this system has been under pressure due to the recent poor economic performance of our economy, the sudden onset of the lockdown due to COVID-19, and the subsequent significant deterioration of government's fiscal position. On the line I have Rashad Kassim. He is a deputy governor of the Reserve Bank. Rashad, thank you so much for joining me. This is a very, very important document for South Africans. What were the key findings?
Thank you very much, Rick. The main purpose of these reports are really to provide a framework to kind of evaluate whether we think that there are risks in the financial system. As you may know, that there's a strong relationship between what goes on in the macro economy, or what economists like to call real economy, and the financial system. And I think that the key findings from this report is that we think the financial system remains resilient following the initial phase of the COVID-19 shock. Initially, we were worried about liquidity challenges experienced in the first half of the year, but a lot of these challenges have been resolved through central bank interventions in the money markets and so on.
I agree with you, but I think the biggest change we've seen in the financial health of South Africa has been the deterioration of government's fiscal position. We are going to see a significant increase in debt over the next few years. Is this a reason for concern in the context of the stability of the financial system?
There are various aspects to monitoring the financial system. One major concern is how does growing debt, whether it's government, whether it's the household, whether it's corporates, impact on the financial system? And I think that one of the big concerns around growing debt, particularly public sector debt, is that the question is, would we see increased funding constraints because investors begin to worry about default? From a financial stability point of view, one of the major challenges is whether we think our capacity to service our debt is sustainable. And if our capacity to service our debt is sustainable, we worry less about stresses in the financial system. If we think that we reach a point where whoever holds the debt, whoever cannot honor the debt, has a problem, and that problem can have ramifications for the financial system. So, for example, if a bank is heavily exposed to government debt and government is unable to honor its debt, then we worry about whether that would have an impact on the viability of a systemically important bank, and will that bank in the process fold, and in the process would you have a financial stability concern. So I think that debt in itself obviously are of concern, but in order to kind of understand whether increasing debt has a serious impact on the financial system, whether it comes from government or comes from household, we have to really understand whether those who own the debt cannot honor their debt, and that those who provide the debt are exposed in a concentrated way so that their entire profitability or their viability is at stake. So I think that debt is a concern. One of the things we worry about in financial stability is whether, you know, we move from a liquidity problem to a solvency problem. And I think long-term debt raises the alarm around solvency concerns.
I read in the report that domestic banks hold around 23% of government bonds and pension funds another 29%. So collectively, between the banks and pension funds, they own more than half of government's domestic debt. That seems to be a significant exposure.
That's a very interesting statistic, and I think you got to the heart of some really important issues in the report. Look, I guess there are two views around this. The one is that we should be lucky that we have quite a developed financial system where banks are buying bonds that are an important form of collateral. They help fund the sovereign. So from that point of view, I think it is a very positive thing. I think that the thing that most central banks would be worried about, and this is a global phenomenon, is what we call the extent to which how banks could become vulnerable when the sovereign is becoming less of a kind of a viable entity. So in other words, if people are really worried about the riskiness to bonds, then we worry about how that would feedback loop into banks who own the bonds and so on. But I think here, banks have pretty good internal risk portfolio diversification strategies. So you're certainly right that banks' ownership of government bonds have gone up. But I think banks also realize, given their own risk profile, that there's a limit to how much bonds they can buy. And I think we're beginning to see a bit of a slowdown of bank ownership of government bonds.
What is the main message? Of course, the view also included a summary of the stress tests that were done on the banks. But currently, as we stand, should we be concerned or should we be worried?
I think that the message coming out from the stress tests is that the domestic banking sector is well capitalized with high levels of liquidity. It is expected to withstand very severe scenarios. And from that point of view, I think that our banks are doing well. I think that the irony of South Africa is that you have an economy with an incredibly resilient financial sector, but a really weak macro economy. And it's kind of remarkable how those coexist. I think that financial stability is likely to remain intact in the near term, but I think that we have to have our radar on potential areas, credit risk to banks. That may be an issue that we've got to watch very closely, how banks are restructuring their loans. And I think those are all important issues that we've got to keep our eye on the ball on.
The Reserve Bank's main mandate is to protect the exchange rate of the rand, to keep inflation under control, to ensure economic growth. But we've seen a currency or an exchange rate this year that has been extremely volatile. How does that impact our financial stability?
There are two ways in which that would happen. This is where we've got to apply our tools in an integrated way. So in the monetary policy side, when we are worried about exchange rate movements, we're worried about the extent to which depreciation of the currency will lead to a price effect or inflation. On the financial stability side, what we are concerned with is broadly the term that we use is called financial conditions. And that is, to what extent would a volatile exchange rate deter, for example, foreign investors from coming into the country, particularly buying local currency bonds or local currency equities? Is a volatile exchange rate a deterrent to that? Because we are a saving constrained economy and we need that. And that's a real issue that we worry about. How does a volatile exchange rate affect funding conditions for the government, for firms and so on?
Rashad, just lastly, last week, the South African Reserve Bank issued a statement related to the reclassification of inward listed instruments as local assets. And that is elicited a significant reaction from several sectors, including the retirement industry, where some individuals have interpreted the statement that it actually nullifies Regulation 28, which limits foreign exposure of retirement funds and products. But the Reserve Bank has now retracted this statement together with the FSCA and National Treasury, and it's been taken on review. What is the context of this decision to take it on the review?
Look, if you look at the statement, one of the initial objectives of that was to kind of try to make this country much more attractive to streamline bureaucratic processes for investment. I think that when some of this was done and the regulations came out, there was incredible ambiguity and different interpretations of what it all means. So what the SARB in conjunction with FSCA and the Treasury have done is they've retracted it just to provide more clarity and to make sure that everyone understands it. At the best of times, these regulations can be quite tricky. So watch the space and we'll get more clarity on this as we go along.
Rashad, thank you so much for your time today. That was Rashad Kassim. He is a deputy governor of the Reserve Bank.